Blog Talk Radio.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves, and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your
Good Shabbos, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll remind everyone to grab your study tools, your iPads, your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, a good Bible or a Bible, your concordance, your study Bibles, your study dictionaries, all that good stuff that you would need for good study. And if you can hear me well, send me a shout out or a thumbs up. And we'll start another session of Can It Be That Simple? Start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for protecting us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you've allowed us to experience throughout the course of the week. But ultimately, Father, we thank you for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King. For it's through his spilled blood that we have been given an opportunity to know the righteous way to your kingdom. Father, we ask of thee to sup with us on this Sabbath day, the day in which you say that you would meet with us and open our eyes so that we can see the wonders of your word. Open our minds so that we can partake of your word, of your truth, and allow it to be a part of our being. Father, we ask of thee to continue to protect us from dangers seen and unseen. We ask of thee to comfort our friends and family, those are in need, for you know what they need. We ask of thee to give them what they need to get them through this Sabbath day, and to also open their hearts and open their minds to know that you are there for them in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom again. I'm Yahweh. And the teaching that we're going to be doing today, it's just another, it's a follow-up in regards to what we did previous weeks. And we're going to do some advanced training because that's the theme of this, you know, these particular weeks. Advanced training is in session. And this session that we're going to be dealing with today is humility. Humility is our topic of the day. And the Father put this on my mind, and it was a scripture that came to my mind that, you know, it wasn't really a scripture. It was just a few words, and then eventually the Father led me to the scripture. So I'll be reading that scripture later on. And that in the words that came to my mind was, he spoke not a word. And the reason why this, you know, this came to my mind was because, you know, I'm starting to see that, you know, the best way the Father is opening my eyes to the wonders of his word is allowing me to start, you know, recognizing my shortcomings and the things that I go through. And so one of the things that, you know, and that's why we're dealing with this topic, humility. Because recently, put in for, you know, my job is starting to, you know, get on my nerves. And so lately I've been seeking employment somewhere else, seeking opportunity somewhere else, you know. But at the end, you know, and I pray about these things and, you know, and I guess, you know, the things that I'm expecting or I want, they haven't been coming through. and that's, I think that's why the Father, you know, brought this to my mind, spoke not a word, because we sometimes don't understand, you know, we don't understand that all our prayers are not going to be answered. And we have to, you know, humble ourselves and realize that, hey, just because you ask for something doesn't mean you're going to get it. Because even though we may think it is according to the Father's plan, it might not be. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we begin to start to murmur and complain and things of that nature. And we don't want to get to the habit where we're murmuring and complaining, or we may already be murmuring and complaining. But we have to get out of that murmuring and complaining and just take each day as it comes and enjoy each moment that the Father has given us to dwell with him and with his Son, you know, and applying the things that we've learned over the years and over, you know, and over the past moment, applying those things to our life so that, you know, we read in the scripture saying we are daily sacrifice. You know, we have to be making sure that we are doing the right thing at all times, not just in the times in which we're praying for something and we wanting something that, you know, for the next 2 weeks, I'm a definitely be on my grind and doing what's right according to the word so I can get this prayer. You know, it doesn't work like that, you know. And we at times are very selfish. And in our selfishness, it shows. And the Father understands and he knows these things. And how did he learn them? How did he know about these things? He observed mankind. And in his observation of dealing with mankind, he understood some things. But then later on, in the lesson, we realize how he began to understand some things. You know, so we're going to start off with a few scriptures. Let me finish talking, you know, about, you know, like I said, I was trying to, you know, get, you know, put in some applications. And so recently, you know, I put in for, you know, to be moved to another area. And, you know, in my mind, I thought I was very qualified. And I'm like, yeah, the Father opened this door for me. Yeah, he definitely opened this one for me. He didn't hear my prayers, heard my complaining. See, heard my complaining. And he opened this door for me, what I thought. So I put in my thing of interest. And the interesting thing was when I put in for it, it was a day before I went on the retreat, and I worked, and supervisor came to the group and like, yeah, we got this position, we're trying to fill it fast, you know, and I'm like, cool. Said the hours was wonderful. It was a position 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. You know, it was beautiful. Because, you know, the earlier, I think that week or so, you know, me and the wife got in a conversation, you know, and she was wanting me to be off on the weekend. So this was like, yeah, I was pumped. So I go to the retreat, come back, the retreat was wonderful, did some building, get back, I don't hear anything. You know, so I'm like, okay, maybe they didn't fill it yet. So then, I think a week went past because I had been back a week. I hadn't heard anything. So right before I went off, I asked the supervisor because I'd been back a whole week. So I asked the supervisor, had the position been filled? And the supervisor informed me, yeah, the position was filled. I'm like, oh, okay. So right there, I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, man. First thing come to my mind is, yo, who got position? I'm wondering who got position. But I didn't ask her who got position because I don't think she even told me in the first place. So then earlier this week, you know, I find out who got it. And I'm saying to myself, oh, man, this is crazy. You know, because, the person who got it, you know, it's neither here or there, but, you know, it made me believe, or not really believe, it made me think that, you know, everything works according to the Father's purpose, you know, not mine. Even though it may have seemed good, this, that, and the other, but it wasn't according to his purpose, because if it was, I would have been in that position. And so throughout the course of the week, I had to, you know, that's where the whole scripture about keeping your mouth shut, because, you know, first thing I wanted to do was really start talking to different people that may have known why this, that, and the other. And the Father just kept telling me throughout the course of the week, yo, keep your mouth shut, man. Just shut up. There's no reason for you to talk about it. You know, why? Because it wasn't for you. Because if it was for me, I would have been in that spot. You know, so then, like I said, I went to the scripture, started, you know, paying attention to that. You know, and it made me think about the Messiah, you know, and where it talks about he kept his mouth shut. He didn't say anything, you know, and we all know, you know, about the Messiah, and we know what he was and who he is and the things of that nature. And we know and we understand his power, his authority that he had. So at any time, he could have said what he wanted to say and things would have happened. We've seen that in different accounts where, you know, he told the wind to be quiet, and, you know, he told the sea to start raging. You know, he told the demons to come out of a person. You know, so we understand, you know, he healed the man's ear after, you know, one of his disciples cut it off. You know, so, you know, we've seen different examples of his authority and his power and the things that he could do. Then these examples that we'll be reading over later, you know, he just chose not to say anything. Why? Because ultimately it was for the purpose of the Father, for him not to say anything. and at the same time for him to fulfill scripture. So one of the things that so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 28. This is going to be the first scripture. Throughout the course of the lesson, we're going to go over a few words. And these three words that I'm going to emphasize, they also came to my thought when I was saying, you know, he spoke not a word. So let me put my glasses on. Okay. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, and it reads, whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For it is precept on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little. Now, Father, you know, I'm starting off here because our topic, advanced training. You know, we've gotten the basics. Now we're getting into advanced training. Now we're starting off with Isaiah, and he said, whom will he teach knowledge? You know, those who are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. So ultimately, we're talking about those who have gathered that basic knowledge and understand the basic truth of the word. And now it's time for them to start to get meat. And that's why he said precept on precept. Precept on precept, line upon line on line, line on line, here a little, there a little. Because if we pay attention to the scriptures, the different prophets said different things based on the same precepts over and over again. And as we go through the scriptures, line upon line, we're going to see these different precepts constantly being taught here, there. But when we put it all together, we get that complete thought. So we're going to go to Isaiah 53, verse 1, and it reads, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? This is going back to that one, who is he teaching knowledge to? You know? Now, who's going to believe the report or the message that's being given? So now, from here, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And it reads, for everyone who lives on milk is not experienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for those who are full grown, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So who's going to recognize this message? Those who are eating solid food, those who are skilled, those who are exercising and being able to discern good from evil. Why? Because they have taken the knowledge of that basic teaching and applying it to their life and experienced things throughout their life based on the basic knowledge, based on the basics of the word and applying it. So as they go through different experiences, they begin to learn and be able to utilize that word. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Because everything is not, you know, we don't gather all the knowledge overnight. When we start this walk, we don't become super righteous in the first hour of our admitting that Yahushua is our Lord and Savior and our Redeemer. No. We don't become super spiritual. We don't do that. It comes through experience. It comes from believing. It comes from hearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And this is Paul speaking. And all of us can relate to this, or should be able to relate to this. And it reads, For everyone who lives on milk is not experienced in the word of righteousness. No, that's not right. No, my fault. I mean, shit, fix my glasses, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It reads, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. So as we walk with the Most High, as we walk in the Word, as we listen for Yahushua to send His Spirit back to us, are we growing up in His Word? Or are we still running around as children, feeling, running around basing things on our feelings, basing things on our thoughts, and then speaking them to people as if they are truth? Are we still doing that? Or are we walking as men and women in the Word, putting away those childish thoughts and doing the will of the Most High? From here, we're going to go to Revelation. And it reads, I apologize, man. Let me get a sip of water. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And it reads, the dragon grew angry with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, who kept Yahweh's commandments and hold Yahushua's testimony. So when we, in the word of righteousness, what are we starting to do? We're keeping the commandments of Yahweh, and we're holding strong to this testimony of Yahushua. When we do that, now we have become grown in His word. We are becoming, we're becoming grown in His righteousness. Because what are we doing? We're putting the totality of Yah's word in us. And we're standing up for the totality of the word. For as we've learned over the years that the word has interacted with man in various ways. He interacted with man as Yahweh Elohim. And he has interacted with man as Yahushua, our Messiah. So from here, we're going to go to, we're getting into the lesson now. So these things that were, preliminaries. So bear in mind the things that just been read and connect them to the scriptures we're about to read. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. And it reads, yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has caused him to suffer. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hands. So from here, the Father opened, he stopped me at the word pleased. And the word pleased comes from the Hebrew 26:54. And that word is, and it means to delight in, desire, but it's a primitive root properly to incline to, by implication, literally but rarely to bend, figuratively to be pleased with, desire, delight, favor, like, move, be well pleased, have pleasure, Then I looked this word up in the dictionary, and the dictionary definitions for the word please is feeling or showing pleasure and satisfaction, especially at an event or situation. Proud of one's achievements, especially excessively so. Self-satisfied. So, you know, so when I, you know, when I read this, what came to my mind was the fact that the word had two, you know, came down in two separate entities as Yahweh Elohim, Yahushua. And as we know, and we pay attention to Isaiah, Isaiah is for, you know, he's prophesying in regards to the coming of the Messiah. One of the things that we can see that if, you know, it it pleased Yahweh to go through what he was about to go through. Because as we know, Yahweh took on flesh. And I forgot to read that scripture. And I'm going to go back to it. And it reads Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And it reads, "For in him the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily." And what we're talking about is Yahushua. We're talking about that Godhead, which is Yahweh Elohim, took on a form of a body. And when he took on the form of a body, he was identified as Yahushua. From here, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. And it reads, "For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but you prepared a body for me." So this is going back to, you know, Yahweh Elohim preparing a body for himself. Preparing a body for him to take on so that he can experience humanity. Because as we know, what did he do? He humbled himself. The word humbled itself to interact with humanity, to go through the things of humanity. And as we go through these scriptures and we thinking about Yahushua and what he did, when he didn't have to, and as we think about these scriptures and think about the things that he did, let us think about ourselves and what we should be doing. If we're saying that Yahushua dwells within us, the light of Yahushua shines brightly in our being, that Yahushua is sending his spirit back to us to give us understanding of the lines that we have read over the years, of the precepts we have read and learned over the years. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And it reads, "Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat on rams." So right here we're learning that it's not about offerings, burnt offerings and sacrifices. No, it's not. It's about being obedient to the voice of Yahweh. And how do we obey the voice? We obey the voice when we read the words of what has been written down before and obeying them. We obey the voice when those who have been put in a position to teach and represent the Mighty One, the That's how we listen. That's how we obey. Because we're performing the words that he is speaking through the prophets, through the teachers. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. And it reads, "My son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he reproves, even as a father reproves a son in whom he delights." As we've seen that the father delighted in Yahweh. He delighted in Yahushua. As a result, that word took on flesh. And in this particular scripture, the word discipline jumped out at me. And discipline is 41:48. And that's Musar. And it means discipline, chasten, correction. From Yasar, properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning, or instructions. Also restraints, bound, chasten, check, doctrine, instruction, rebuke. So then I looked up the word Yasar, and it means to discipline, chasten, admonish. A primitive root to chastise, literally with blows or figuratively with words, hence to instruct, bind, chasten, chastise, correct, instruct, punish, reform, reprove, teach. So if we pay attention to this word discipline, discipline is a form of teaching. You know, a form of correcting. So isn't that what the word is supposed to do for us? It's supposed to discipline us. But then when we look at the term discipline, discipline is not always, you know, people tend to say, you know, when you use the word chastisement. Chastisement is normally used in harsher cases, and we see when we look up the word chasing. But, you know, when you discipline a person, you don't necessarily have to chasten them. You know, you talk to them, you instruct them, you correct them, you know. And you can do all these things by your actions and what you do and what you say to a person. Here, from here, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. And it reads, "For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Now, chasten from the Hebrew, I mean from the Greek, is 38:11. And that is paidaouo. And that means to train children, to chasten, to correct. And as you see in this definition, it is talking about children. It says also usage, discipline, educate, train, but more severely, chasten. Chastise. I apologize. So then I looked up the word educate. And educate implies development of the mind. To develop mentally, morally, or aesthetically. Especially by instructions. So when we're chastising, we're educating. We're developing the mind. When we chasten, because that the word falls under this definition also, and it says chasten, this is from your Webster's Dictionary, is chastened, suggests any affliction or trial that leaves one humbled or subdued may apply to either the affliction of corporal punishment or to verbal censure or denunciation. So now I looked up the word denunciation because I don't use that word. And denunciation means to pronounce, especially publicly, to be blameworthy or evil. So when we look at these particular words and these particular definitions, and we go back and we recall the accounts of Yahushua when he was in the world, they ridiculed him by words. So that was a form of chastisement that he was getting by humanity for being righteous. They beat him as a form of chastisement because they didn't understand what he was saying, because they failed to recognize him, because they kept leaning on their own understanding and wanting men to raise them up versus raising up the Messiah versus raising up that mighty one. And when he came in the world and did the things that he did righteously, it made them ashamed. It humbled them. But because they had the power, they did what they wanted to do to humble him, to shut him up. Because they didn't want to lose their power. And as we travel in this way of righteousness, see, we're going to come across the same things. Because Yahushua told us in his word that they will hate you just as well as they hated me. So that's something that we have to recognize. We have to realize that everybody is not going to like us. People are not going to care for us. And as we've seen and we read through the scriptures, people that's even close to us is not going to like us, going to chastise us, both, you know, at this present time, verbally. You know, because in my journey thus far, no one has, you know, put their hands on me in regards to me standing up for the word. I don't know if anybody else has experienced it, but I definitely haven't. But I've definitely heard some harsh words in regards to, you know, me walking this way, standing up for Yahushua. And I've even had to, you know, unfortunately had to shake the dust off and leave some people behind. And I'm okay with that, because that's something that the Messiah told me that I would have to do. As long as I'm constantly raising him up, I'm going to be subject to the same stuff that he went through. And I'm okay with that. But one of these things we have to realize that these things were foretold, that he was going to go through these things, and he went through them. He didn't know what he was going to experience, but he went through it. He agreed to this, just like we have agreed to this also. So we have to gird up and understand that these things that we're going to go through is for our edification. It's for our edification. Just like it was for his edification, it's for our edification also. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, and it reads, "He, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and petition with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having made perfect, he became to all of those who obeyed him the authority of eternal salvation. Do we understand that Yahushua learned obedience? Why? Because he did what his father told him to do. And he said that several times in the scriptures. Well, I don't do anything unless my father tell me. I don't know because the father hasn't told me. And through him being obedient, he learned some things. We're going to go to, Wait a minute. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And it reads, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Just going back to understanding, how did he learn obedience? He learned obedience by going through the same things, the same temptations that we as humans go through. And he rose above them and didn't sin. So as we're going through the scriptures and reading the accounts of Yahushua, the things that he did, and how man was constantly accusing him of things that he did not do, and punish them based on their own isms and schisms and not dealing with him based on the word of the Most High. Because if they did do that, then they would have understood who he was. But we have learned over the years that it was for that purpose. They were blinded so that they would not understand and not recognize him when he was here, so that all of the world would have an opportunity to know who he is. Just like we read earlier, his seed. You know, we've been learning that there's two seeds in the world. There's two families in the world, the family of Yah and the family of Hasatan. Seed, that righteous seed that came into the world, that Nun that came into the world from humanity's sake. Not just Adam's sake, humanity's sake. For your sake, Yahushua came down to give you an opportunity to make it into the kingdom, to give you an opportunity to eat from the tree of life, taking on humanity, taking on the flesh. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read verses 3 and 7. And it reads, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and acquaintance with disease. He was despised as one from whom men hid their face. And we did not respect him. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he did not open his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before its shearing is muted. So he did not open his mouth. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 11. Now Yahushua stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, and are you the king of the Jews? Yahushua said to him, so you say. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders. He answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you hear how many things they testify against you?" He gave him no answer, not even one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. We're going to go to Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 23. Now, before I go to Luke chapter 23, that was Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 to 14. I apologize. Luke chapter 23, verse 7 to 12. Verses 7 to 12. When he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, and this is Pilate, realizing that, you know, his dwelling was in Herod's jurisdiction. Let me start over. When he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. Now when Herod saw Yahushua, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracles, done by him. He questioned him with many words, but he gave no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently against him. Herod, with his soldiers, humiliated him and mocked him. Dressing him in luxurious clothes, they sent him back to Pilate. So we've been through, as they say, the crucifixion and the Messiah. We went through those books and talked about the different, the apostles' account with him and him doing his ministry. And that's the same thing that we're doing. We're continuing his ministry. We're continuing as the disciples did. We're learning about his word from him, through his teachers, through his prophet, so that we too can take on that spirit, take on the word, as be like him, the walking talk, the walking instructions. But in order for us to be walking the instructions of the Torah, we have to experience the Torah, the good, the bad, the in-between, so that when we're talking to people in regards to Yahushua and what he has done, we can also lump ourselves in the experience as also, as we learn from our experiences with the Word and sharing those experiences with those in whom we come in contact with. But always, charity starts at home. We have to start really getting more in tune with at home and sharing these things, just like Yahushua did with the disciples. He went out amongst the people and he shared things with them. But when he got amongst the disciples by himself, away from everyone, he broke things down for them so that they can understand. Even though they had little faith. But it was after his death and his resurrection and his ascension that when they were out there ministering the word of Yahushua, then they could see. Because that spirit opened their eyes up to the things that he had said to them. Just like the different things that we experience through our teachers and our prophets that we have today. As we walk in our day-to-day life, those things that they have presented to us by Yah's Spirit comes to our mind and brings us to a higher understanding of Yah is really with us. Yahushua is really with us. Yahweh Elohim is really with us. But we have to continue to increase our faith. And our faith is not based on the strength of our arm. It's in the endurance of our mind. Because the struggle, the real struggle, is the struggle that we have inside. And if we can overcome that struggle that we have within us, our faith will strongly be increased. As the old adage is, mind over matter. The stronger our mind becomes, the weaker the fleshly nature will be. So that we too, as individuals, can dwell spiritually with Yahushua and the Father and just await our time to be there physically in the spirit or in the flesh. Because we're already dwelling with him in the spirit now. As Yahushua say, be in the world but not of the world. So as we've learned many times before, I think we read with Jeremiah how he told Jeremiah, I knew you when you was in the womb. He knew us also when we was in the womb. And we was in the womb strictly by spirit. We spiritually dwelled with him. Each and every one of us. Those who are listening to me now and those who are not listening to me. At one time, they dwelled in the spirit with the Father. And when they came into this world, all that experience left us. But he gives us an opportunity to get back. He sent his son, his only begotten son, down to lay his life down for us as that sacrifice for us for the level of disobedience. As Yahushua say, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. And this is the last scripture for the night. And this is what Yahushua said to the Father. And I'm saying it to you all now. If Yahushua be in you, then you'll understand. John chapter 17, verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed. That is our goal, family, to dwell with the Father in that innocence as children, in that humility as Yahushua went through, and not saying a word. Accepting the discipline, accepting the education, accepting the training. We too must go through training. We too must be educated. We too must be chastised. And we too must also give no answer. Say not a word. Because we understand sometimes it's not necessary to speak. Because they say action speaks louder than words. Sometimes we have to allow our actions to speak for us. And as we journey with Yah, through Yahushua, may we continue to build on that solid rock, which is Yahushua. May we continue to hear his voice as he instructs us on our day-to-day. As the scriptures say, pray without ceasing. Ask him ask the Father in Yahushua's name. Because we've read in the scriptures many times before how he hears the prayers of Yahushua. He hears them. He acknowledges what Yahushua says. So we are praying to him through Yahushua. Yahushua will present us to him. So family, may this meal that you've just had, may it satisfy your stomachs. And if it hasn't satisfied your stomachs, then look these scriptures up and see what the Father say to you. Look these words up and see what the Father says to you. To get your full. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this Sabbath day. Thank you, Father, for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. We thank you, Father, for our forefathers who left an example for us to read and to study. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes to receive and perceive the wonders of your word. We thank you, Father, for opening our ears to hear, to incline the wonders of thy kingdom. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to allow us to be a good example on this earth, representing Yahushua. We thank you, Father, for and our friends and family throughout the course of this week. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be an example for those who've seen us. Thank you, Father, for unifying us as a family, letting us know that we belong to you. May you continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth. May we continue to hold on to Yahushua. We thank you, Father, once again for choosing us, for opening our ears to hear and opening our eyes to see the wonders of thy Son, Yahushua. We pray in Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Israel family, and listening audience. May you all have a peaceful slumber. And may this meal touch your stomachs, touch your heart, and allow you to be strengthened in Yahushua. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shabbat shalom.
They call in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy
Thank you.